Penny said earlier, it's hot up here, and she's exactly right. It must be warm in here altogether. But anyway, good morning, everybody. Welcome to Bethel Presbyterian Church. You will find for our visitors that we are actually using our outside worship service bulletin. So all your hymns won't come from your hymn books and all those other things. So due to our weather this morning, unexpected, but appreciated and certainly a blessing, we moved inside just to make sure that you don't have a wet seat. The sun's already out, but we just wanted to make sure that you guys are comfortable. So thanks for everybody who made this shift and change on Communion Sunday to make us work out inside, and specific appreciation to Mac and the boys for preparing the beautiful table that's before us, as they always do traditionally. So this morning's message is entitled, All Are Welcome. And I struggled with the scripture that I wanted to use this morning. It comes out of Luke 14 and 15. And you'll see in your bulletin, I chose a specific scripture out of Luke 15 for a reason. And so I want to tell you that before I get started this morning. In Luke 14, it's the one portion of Luke 14 is the parable of the great feast. And the parable that we will discuss this morning, or that's quoted in your bulletin, and I will read to you this morning, is the parable of the lost son. So in Bible study, we are on week 35, and it's such a tremendous group of people, but week 1 through week 10, we recapped on our favorite lesson. So we did the same thing on week 11 through week 31, and in that series of lessons, the parable of the lost son was one of the things that we studied. Now, three folks came back with that was their favorite lesson of that series, 11 through 31. And one particular gentleman said something to me, and the question was posed to the class from me, which is your favorite lesson and why? And what purpose, what reasons do you give that it's your favorite? And so, Eddie Sensabaugh, a very familiar friend of ours in this church and this congregation, many of you know him, he waited to last to speak. Now, if you know Eddie, he is eccentric, and he will give you a direct answer. And so I'm not going to share with you exactly how he shared it in Bible study, but I will share with you the elements of what he said. He said, Derek, my favorite lesson out of all of them was the parable of the lost son. And I asked him why. And he said this. He said, you know, I believe that each of us relate to all the characters in our lifetime. Somewhere in our life, we relate to those characters. We relate to the youngest son who was arrogant and greedy. We relate to the oldest son who was selfish and also arrogant and did not want to give up something that he thought he was entitled to. And we also in our lives have found ourselves relating to the Father, the loving Father, who as soon as he saw his son coming down the street, he broke and ran, wrapped his arms around him, welcomed him home because he was lost. And to the family, he actually was, they thought, to be dead. So Eddie's words set me back on my heels because he broke that parable down to sections in our lives as human beings when we find ourselves in all three aspects of those characters. And so that's why I've chosen, even in this message this morning, that's why I've chosen this specific scripture, Luke 15, 15 through 24. So if you're following along in your Bibles, it is Luke 15, 15 through 24. And I'm in the New Living Translation. So let's go to the Lord and see what he has to say here this morning. Again, I'm going to begin in the middle of the parable. He persuaded a local farmer to hire him, and the man sent him into the fields to feed the pigs. The young man became so hungry that even the pods he was feeding the pigs looked good to him, but no one gave him anything. When he finally came to his senses, he said to himself, at home with my father, even the hired servants have food enough to spare, And here I am dying of hunger. I will go home to my father and say, Father, I have sinned against both heaven and you, and I am no longer worthy of being called your son. Please, please take me on as a hired servant. So he returned home to his father. And while he was still a long way off, his father saw him coming down the street. Filled with love and compassion, his father broke and ran to his son, embraced him and kissed him. His son said to him, Father, I have sinned against both heaven and you, and I am no longer worthy of being called your son. But his father said to the servants, Quick, bring the finest robe to the house and put it on him. Get a ring for his finger and sandals for his feet. And kill the calf we have been fattening. We must celebrate with a feast, a banquet. For this son of mine was dead and has now returned to life. He was lost, but now he has been found. So bring on the banquet. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. You may question why I've chosen this parable on Communion Sunday. It's simply because the parable, after all, describes what we know to be a feast or a banquet. In that day, a banquet was a real celebration. It was the Mac Daddy, per se, of a throwdown. It was the happening of happenings. As my grandfather would say, they would pull out all the stops to have a banquet or prepare a banquet. Linen tablecloths, smoked salmon, fatted calves, candlelight if necessary. You name it, it was done in a feast or a banquet of that day. Today we call what we are about to share the Lord's Supper. This morning there will be no polished silver, linen tablecloths and such. We simply will have a crust of bread and a sip of lukewarm grape juice. In fact, in those juice cups, there's just enough grape juice in there to taste, not even to truly quench your thirst. So my question to you this morning is, does this sacrament that we will share in a few minutes qualify as a banquet? You also may question the use of the text this morning because it does not explicitly mention the Lord's Supper. Yet, when we read the parable in the full context of Luke, we discover that it evokes the Lord's Supper in actually two ways. The people of Luke's day believed that every meal was a religious occasion. To invite another person to eat with you was to say, I accept you. I want you to be a part of the earthly life with me. Come now, eat and share in my food. This acceptance is a point that Jesus himself drives home when he is found eating and drinking among sinners. We see this on multiple occasions in the Bible. Even the Pharisees question his actions when he shares food and nourishment with the sinners. Second is the reference to being hungry. The youngest son made reference in the parable this morning to being starved and hungry and desiring food. He even contemplated this morning in the parable of eating the feed that he was feeding the pigs. That's how hungry he was. So this parable does reference food, and it actually references bread. You recall after the giving of the manna in the wilderness, bread became a sustenance of life. It also symbolizes God's constant presence for the Jewish people in Scripture. When they ate bread, they were reminded of the constant presence of God in their lives. Scripture uses the symbol of bread as a way of speaking to the divine presence of our Lord. This scripture speaks directly to when Jesus is present, or not this scripture, but scripture itself speaks directly to the relationship when Jesus was present with his disciples at the Lord's table. The two things that he speaks of, and we will share in this morning, is bread and wine, or the body of Christ and the cup of the new covenant. Another question for you to ponder this morning is, why give such a banquet? Then, as now, food was a sign of celebration. Today, when we have something to celebrate or we have something important to talk about, we burst down the door and we try to make a banquet, or we prepare a meal to celebrate the good news that's coming our way. And we do that in a joyous setting with our friends and family, those that we love. We share in the good news, and we do it with food. The peculiar thing about the celebration, banquet, and feast, or party, as some may describe it in Scripture this morning, is the guest list. Now, I didn't read in Luke 14 about the great feast, but in the great feast parable, which is just before the parable of the lost son, it talks specifically about the guest list. As the host of a party, we often have a tendency to fixate on those who made excuses and did not come to the party we prepared or the banquet that we laid down. I suspect that reveals more about us than it does about the no-shows that didn't make it. In the parable of the great feast described in Luke 14, the focus is not so much on who did not come as who actually did come. Do you remember the list of those who showed up in that parable? If you don't, it's okay. I'm going to repeat them to you this morning. They were the poor, the maimed, the blind, and the lame. We should not be surprised at this list because we know Scripture emphasizes God's love for the poor, the maimed, the blind, and the lame. God makes important provisions to ensure that these people on the edges of society are fed and clothed and housed. Listen to these words found in Luke 14. And the servant said, "Sir, what had you commanded has been done, and still there is room in your house." And the master said to the servant, "Go out to the highways and the hedges and compel people to come in, that my house may be filled." The highways and the hedges. You know, those are outside the city limits. They are now, and they were then. In the Bible, the city is often a symbol of security and community. But outside the city, on the highways and the hedges of the living, things are rough. They're tough. And it's a different environment. In the parable of the great feast, we learn that the table that was prepared had an invitation list. We were not on that invitation list. You see, we live in the highways and the hedges of this world. In today's world, where do you live? I just gave you the answer. You likely believe that you live in the safety of the city, but you don't. I hate to be the bearer of bad news, but you don't live there. You don't live among the security of the town. You live in the highways and the hedges of this world. It's dangerous. You see, we're immersed in a sinful world. We live in the highways and the hedges of life. But what's so great about being a Christian is every day we have the invitation to serve God wherever we may be. Again, the feast was not prepared for us in this parable. It was prepared by invitation. And those who were invited didn't come. But those who were called did. So the question is, should we have a place at God's banquet? Should we, why were we not on the invitation list, but B, when we were called, should we and do we deserve a place at God's banquet? Do we deserve an invitation to the table of God's love? I ask you this question, I ask you multiple questions in this paragraph. Have you ever known someone you just could not stand and you wished they would simply go away to make your life better? Have you ever wished that? Have you ever known someone like that? Have you ever made a decision not because you thought it was right, but because you hoped it would get you in good standing with the person you were trying to impress? Have you ever done that in your life? Have you ever been mad at someone and talked about them with everyone other than those who you were angry with? Have you ever done that? Have you ever been jealous of the accomplishments of a friend? Have you ever coveted another person's intellectual ability, their talents, their skills, and their human relationships that surround you? Have you ever been jealous? Have you ever lusted after another person? Have you ever given your half best to something or someone who deserved your absolute best? Have you ever done that? Well, here's the answer. Unless you are an angel in human form, you have done these things and maybe more. But if not, I assure you that you have done something in your sinful life which should keep you away from God's table. Yet, this morning, here it is. In Luke 14:22, it says, "Go out into the country roads and hedges and compel anyone you find to come." To compel. Compel means to offer the strongest and most persuasive invitation, but one which is not coercive. It sounds too good to be true that the God of purity seeks this invitation of us, the sinner. But He does. Our God of immeasurable love is a God who accepts us and is with us and invites us to this table this morning. Sometimes we just need a little touch of Him, a little reminder that we are indeed truly welcome to this table. I ask you to remember back when you were a child, maybe a young adult, when you learned how to swim for the first time. Can you remember saying, standing at the poolside or the lakeside, "I'm not going. I will drown in there. And if I do, it's going to be your fault. I'm not going." However, through that period of time, you slowly, step by step, learn to swim. Your fears diminish. And then one day, you're confident enough that you take the big leap into water that's over your head. Do you remember that? Do you remember your parent or your swim coach or your friend who was helping you to learn to swim, knowing that you were going into water that you could drown in, knowing that the water was literally over your head? Do you remember what that friend, coach, or parent said? I certainly do. They said, "Come on, jump, chicken. Come on, you got this. You can swim." Why? Because I'm right here beside you, and I will be here with you the entire way. So you flailingly go into the water, in trust, over your head. You begin to sink and realize, "Liars, I'm dying." And all of a sudden, your friend or your coach or your loved one simply gives you a touch, a lift, a hand or two, and brings you to the surface, and you begin to paddle and swim. The next day, when the sun rises and the heat is unbearable, you realize, I think I'm going swimming. Why? Because the fear you had the day before is gone. The ability to swim is gone. Why? Because of the coach or the parent or the friend who helped you through it. I remind you of a coach, a friend, and our parent who has helped us through life. His name is Jesus Christ. You see, the Lord's Supper is like that person. The Lord's Supper is like that to us in the sea of life where we swim. It's a lift. It's a touch in the water of sin. With the bread and the cup this morning, we are reminded of God's constant presence in our life. Yes, it is simply a crust of bread and a sip of juice out of a small cup, but it is the bread of life and the cup of the new covenant. It is the touch that God wants us to share. It is His love for you and me that this table before us exists. I leave you with this in this message this morning. My first question to you this morning was, does this sacrament qualify as a banquet? I'm not for sure what your answer would be, but here is what I believe the answer is. No. Absolutely not. You see, it's more than a banquet. It's the table set before us by our very own Savior, Christ Jesus. And all, and I do mean all of us, wherever we live, in the city, on the hedges, in the streets, on the highways, wherever we may find rest in our lives, all are truly welcome to the Lord's table. Amen.